Good morning, family.
Good morning.
A little bit of change this morning, isn't there? It's a little bit, except for some, it might feel a little uncomfortable. For some, it might say, hey, let's whip it up. I was in a church once where the pastor basically challenged us to not sit in the same pew that we always sit in. And if we do, we just do that. We naturally go to these places where we're comfortable, where we're used to the view, and he got us up. He made us. He goes, I've got a picture here. I know where you've been sitting. And he made us get up and move. And it felt a little awkward because I was sitting in a place that Aunt Martha used to sit in, and that was an exalted location. Or I sat where George so-and-so sat and all his life, and all, you know, ever since he was knee-high to a... So you get my point. This morning, we have the kiddos with us, so that's okay. It's good. Thank you again for the... Ray, Paul, for everybody helping. Welcome to Hinesboro's flood control management system, you know? It's just... One day that'll happen. So essentially, whenever it floods, when the pumps get behind or have a problem, the water level just rises. And we need an arc sometimes. But fortunately, the routine is down, and we got to get ready for things coming up. And we need to prepare for the future, for what's coming. And I thank you that you honored Nancy by saying, we'll have it cleaned up. So, because you know she's going to come after. No, I'm kidding. Kenny will. So, has it been a good week for everybody? It's good to see everybody back. I hope so. We are getting ready for Easter season. And coming into the time where there's a lot of preparations for churches. Churches spend a lot of time and effort on this to get ready. We clean the church. You know, we do the same thing. We're getting ready. There's a time in the Passover ceremony for the Jewish people. It's called the Day of Preparation. The Day of Preparation is the day before the Sabbath. It's the day when the Passover meal was made. Guess which day Jesus died on? The Day of Preparation on Friday. And so it's ironic, or not ironic, because God's timing is always perfect, that fell on a specific time and a specific date, because God wants to remind us about the significance of these events. Preparation is always important. Are you preparers? Are you a preparation type person? I've preached on this. I went backwards and looked, and I've preached on 3 or 4 sermons about this word preparation or being prepared. And this one's going to be different because what got put on my heart as I was reading scriptures was, if I had to ask from the Bible, what does God expect us to be prepared for? What are some of those big ticket items, those things that are significant that all of us as Christians should be prepared for? I came up with a pretty quick list. And I think that's what we're going to be focusing on today. And the question is for today, if we're prepared, are we doing so willingly and able? Are we able and willing to be prepared? And if we are prepared, does that help us become better, willing, and able? Or do we need to be willing and able before we're prepared? Do you understand where I'm going with that? So as Christians, I can remember what it was like being a new Christian, being excited about going to Bible studies, going to church, hanging out with all the other Christian new friends I had, and playing golf, or playing putt-putt golf, just hanging out. And just learning this whole thing of being a Christian. And then it became real apparent to me that God had an end goal in mind. We're not doing this for fun. We're not doing this just to be better citizens or to just occupy a pew in the church. God has a purpose here, doesn't he, Roger, in all of our lives? And the interesting thing is all of us have a different path. All of us have a different plan that God has given us. And so ultimately, we're all going to be in his presence for eternity, but sometimes we all get there different ways. So for me as a pastor, to sit here and say, you have to have and follow this specific route to get there, I would be remiss. I would be wrong. I would be blowing smoke up your backside, however you want to say the words or phrase. Basically, I would be telling you an untruth. Because what I've learned so far, again, is everything time I think I've got something nailed down, God changes it up. Kind of like our service this morning. You know, we prepared. We have a routine. Carrie and I come and we prep the church, clean it. And Erin as well, thank you. Yes, and she practices her piano. She's been doing that beautifully for many years. And And this time we had to call Paul and let him know what was going on. And that triggered a whole bunch of phone calls. And then we have to sit there and decide, do we go or not go? And the best thing I can say is that our hearts are always that we're always as much as we can be together. That's our desire. And I know we try hard to make that happen. But no matter how good our preparations are, things can fall apart. Things can change, right? So today is a little different. That's okay. So are we prepared? Are you ready? Let's begin with a word of prayer. How's that sound? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father, for difficulties and circumstances and the weather and broken pumps and flooded basements and changes to our routines, Lord. Not because we like those things or because we want to have those happen to us, but Father, what happens for all of us is that it changes us up. It changes our routine up, and it allows us to refocus and to trust you more. It allows us to be brothers and sisters and work side by side to get things done and to prepare our place of worship, to lift each other up and to assist and to help in any way we can. But Father, the most important thing is that it puts our eyes back on you. And as we prepare for our days and our weeks and our time coming up, especially the Easter season, it's not lost on me that the day Jesus died was the day of preparation. And so today we're going to talk about exactly that, being willing and able and being prepared. So Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for those that are online listening in to our website. I pray that God is in your life and is working it hard and in a mighty way in your life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So prepared, willing, and able. If some of you can see what that picture is, it's a garden rake. Some of you, anybody yet broken ground on your garden yet? Anybody? Not yet? Nobody wants to admit it? There's a couple fellows over in our area, and I can see that they've churned the ground. And this is, now I'm not talking about the fields. That's for the pros. I'm talking about for us amateurs that do our little plots. And is anybody going to have a garden this year? Anybody? Paul, what are you going to plant this year, you think? Beans, tomatoes. Okay. Anybody else? Brenda, what are you going to have? A little bit. But when you plant them, do you plant them always in the same rows? I mean.
Uh-huh.
Sure. So you just don't take the seeds and go.
No.
That would be ridiculous. Lloyd's over here laughing. Yeah, you're right. The pros are going, oh, that's an amateur. I just, you know, pour them in your hands and kind of go, you know.
Ask Rich if we have a garden.
Do you have a garden?
Define garden. I have a crop of grass that I mow every week and harvest on my John Deere.
We have a rose garden.
Yes, we do have a rose. Thank you. You bailed me out. We plant things and they kind of grow for a while and we try our best. Shut up, Paul. Put the pastor on the spot. Come on now. What is that? All right. Well, I have a quick little illustration I want to share with you about this idea of preparation. There's a famous British sculptor named Sir Jacob Epstein. He was once visited in a studio by the eminent author and fellow Briton, George Bernard Shaw. And if those of you who know George Bernard Shaw, he's written quite a few classics. So they're a sculptor and an author in the same place. George Bernard Shaw noticed a huge block of stone standing in one corner and asked him what it was for. "I don't know yet. I'm still making plans." Shaw was astounded. "You mean you plan your work? Why? I change my mind several times a day." "That's all very well with a 4-ounce manuscript," replied the sculptor, "but not with 4-ton blocks." So the point is, when we plan, we need to plan based on the scope of the work. What's involved? And I think sometimes, I've been around churches long enough where sometimes I have this joke, another richism. You know the saying, ready, fire, ready, aim, fire? You know, we learned that as a little kid with bows and arrows and pellet guns and stuff. Well, what I've learned is there's one in ministry and business world, especially in the business world, where instead of ready, aim, fire, so you get ready, then you aim, and then you fire, like we're taught in the military, right, JD? You remember that on the shooting range? It changes. It's ready, fire, aim. They fire, and then they aim. Ready, then they shoot the gun or shoot whatever the project is or the process is, and then they worry about why they missed later. And it happens a lot. It happens in a lot of planning, and if you've been in the business world long enough and you've seen how corporations work and companies work, you go, oh, yes, I've seen that happen. It happens in schools. We come up with great projects. They sound great over here in a little committee, and then they release it, and they forgot a step, or they forgot something, or they didn't think all the steps through. However, on the opposite side of that, I bet you some of you have experienced this, where you can have what they call analysis paralysis. Anybody ever run into that before? That's where you can overanalyze and analyze and analyze until you're blue in the face and nothing gets done because you're afraid to make a step forward. Kind of like in that joke. Moving a 4-ton block of stone is a little bit different than carrying a sheaf of papers. But there's no less difficulty in planning for either one. There's no less amount of planning that you do for either one or being prepared. We're going to be talking, the verses are up on your outline today. It's a little bit different. And our first verse that we're going to talk about is the first fill in the blank. In John 14:2, Jesus said this, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. This is just before Jesus died. And his disciples were worried. They were bothered. They were concerned with him talking this language of the temple's going to be destroyed. I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. I'm going to go somewhere and you're not coming with me yet. And here Jesus assures them by saying, I go to prepare a place for you. See, Jesus even makes preparations. Even Jesus prepares. So if Jesus does, shouldn't we? So put up the next slide, please. There's what I would call five things or five areas of a Christian walk that we should prepare in. The first one, in 2 Timothy 4, 1-2, I'm going to read these real quickly. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The first area of preparation that as a Christian we should be doing is prepare our hearts and prepare ourselves. That's what that is saying. Be prepared in season and out of season. It means you always need to be prepared. Now, there are times when it feels awkward, you know, or just maybe awkward is the wrong term, or being unprepared. There's times where God puts us together with a situation or with a person, and we're a loss of words. We don't know what to say, what to do. But you know what? Sometimes those are the times where we just need to shut up and not say anything. Those might be the times where we just need to be a shoulder or a hand or an arm or putting our hands together and praying together and being quiet. That's okay. But it says, be prepared in season and out of season for correction, rebuking, and encouraging with great patience and careful instruction. We need to prepare ourselves and our heart always. Number two, this is in, go ahead and put it up. 1 Peter 3:5, but in your hearts, this is Paul talking and Peter talking. Paul repeats something like this later. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. There, people see you differently. They see things in you, Roger. They say, and it's not stinky feet, as cute as that illustration was. It's not your perfume. It's not your dress. It's your behavior. It's your attitude. Hope is that, I think, really, I'm going to check this when I get to heaven. That hope that we have, that we reflect Jesus in our life, I think is almost like that Shekinah glory that they talk about a lot in the Bible. It's that glowing that comes from the assurance of knowing that we're saved and we have hope. The world sees it in us. And when we're trying very hard sometimes to hide it because we mess up and we mess up and we sin and we get defeated or whatever, they're also seeing the times when we're not hiding it. and it just comes busting right out. People can see it on us. People will see that we serve a Savior that breathed universes out of his mouth. You're a little different. You have hope. Preparation number two. We need to be prepared to share the good news at all times. And that's not a fancy formula. It's not picking up one of these and being able to hold, you know, chapter and verse, quoting it down to the verse. There's some of that in there, yes. You should kind of know your way around. Old Testament, New Testament, 66 books of the Bible. You know, who wrote the Old Testament? Who wrote most of the New Testament? Those are good, big article questions. But that's what I have, the index in the back of the Bible for. I have in our phones today. I mean, you can pretty much Google three words. Remember that, name that song? They didn't have smartphones then, back then. You know, you could just listen. Today you can just, do you know there's an app where you can put it in and you can listen to a song and hold it up and it'll tell you the name of that song. It doesn't even have to hear the whole song. It just has to hear part of it. Same way for us. You can get Bible apps where you can put in, I can do all and stop. But I don't remember the rest of it. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it pops it right up. Being prepared to share the good news, however, is not, it could be some of that. But what I found personally is that people want to have a conversation with me about who Jesus is and what he meant to me. And that transcends quoting scripture and the theological stuff. What it is about, why do you have hope? What happened in your life? Didn't, as Kerry would say, the people at my 20-year reunion, they knew the way I used to be. Why are you different now? What happened? Why do you reflect hope in your countenance and your, you're facing cancer, or you're facing this, you're facing difficulty. How can you do this? Let me tell you about this guy, Jesus. We need to be prepared to share the good news. Now, of course, the good news is a little bit more than just that. The good news, of course, are the essentials of what I call our faith, the essentials of our faith. Jesus died. That's what we celebrate Easter for. He rose again. He's coming back for us. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. That's the good news. Number three, a third area that we should prepare our lives as Christians is Matthew 24. Again, Jesus is talking, and he says, so you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. They knew that Jesus was leaving. And they wanted him back. They wanted to know, when are you coming back? Because he kept dropping these hints. I'll be back for you. I'll be back for you. Well, when? There's been a whole cadre of authors and famous Christians that have kind of tried to predict this. When is Jesus coming back? And wholesale businesses of predictions. Do you remember the Hale Bob Comet crew, the ones out in California, when the Hale Bob Comet went flying by? Well, they believed in their crazy leader that they were going to get, there's a spaceship up there, and they were going to get transported up. And these people literally, I mean, altered their lives, their bodies, their clothes, and then they took poison because that was the thing that was going to transport them up to heaven. That's just one example. There's other examples where in these cultish following of this leader that is holding hostage these people, these believers, because they're so desperate for hope, and these leaders can manipulate them that they can make them do crazy things. We don't know. We don't know when it's going to happen. But we also know this. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to take care of itself. How do you separate those two? Well, I'm not to worry, but Jesus says be prepared. So we know this. Preparation does not involve worry. It talks about being prepared. And here's our third thing we can do. We need to prepare for Christ's return. What does that look like? Well, we ought to be leaning forward in the saddle, not backwards. We ought to be doing what we're doing today, learning, having fellowship. We should also be making amends. working on those issues in our life, maybe that God reveals to us that we need to take care of. Maybe it's past hurts. Maybe it's something. I don't know what those are. That's why I said earlier, my path is not your path. The people I've hurt, the people that have hurt me, that's different. But we all have these pieces together, these significant parts. Maybe it's going back to school. Maybe it's starting a new ministry. Maybe God puts it on your heart to make a huge donation of some your time or effort or treasure or something to get something going. I don't know. Prepare for Christ's return. And all those things are being done not because God needs you to. He wants you to. He wants you to participate. He wants you to help in the preparations. Number four. A fourth area of preparation in Matthew 16, 24. And Jesus said to his disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple, this is going to sound strange, must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. What? I remember the first time I read that, I went, do you make crosses and sell them here or something? Or you know, I thought that was a literal translation. Figuratively speaking, what Jesus is talking about, and we have crosses in our life, things that we are burdened with that are unique to ourselves. And we have to pick that up and be prepared. But here's what I know. I don't want to do that. That's not normal for me. So preparation number four, go ahead. We need to prepare to get outside our comfort zone. Ooh. So I'm going to make a joke, Carrie, okay? I promise I'll pay you a buck later.
I'm up here today.
I know. I can't say this because you're sitting right there. When we go to our favorite restaurants, if this is you, do you order something different each time you go? Are you one of those people? Or do you kind of like the same thing and you get this? Because you go to like Chick-fil-A. I love their sandwiches. I just do. Go to the sushi restaurant, I start off with the simple stuff, you know, the California rolls, and if those are good, then I kind of escalate it from there. But typically, when we go to favorite restaurants, we order the same things. I like, when I go to the Mexican restaurants, I like the shrimp because I make tacos and burritos out of them. Carrie has her number, whatever. Aaron likes, what do you like from the Mexican restaurant? Chicken on the beach? I bet you, and the spouses can look at each other, you know where I'm going with this thing. You go to the ribeye, Lloyd, do you get the same thing kind of all the time? Okay, see what I mean? Now, when we went out, we had the new diner, the new restaurant. Do you have places that you guys like to go that kind of you get the same things kind of on the menu? Is that okay to do that? Is that odd? Marcia's laughing back there. I don't think it's odd because we're familiar. Now, what Jesus is talking about is you got to get into the unfamiliar. Like this morning when the floors are wet and we don't have programs downstairs and we got to get, you got a major fire and you have to deal with all kinds of stuff. We lose loved ones. We lose a job or we try a new job. We try a new recipe. That can be traumatic for some people. Restaurant.
Remember, I'm up here.
I know. And I'm probably going to pay for this. It's not a buck. This is difficult for us as Christians, as believers, as people. Please, hear my heart. I'm right there. I like my routine. I like my stuff. I like my order. God kind of shakes that up a little bit. He says, get out that comfort zone. Number five. It's in Job. Let's go Old Testament here. Job 14:5. A person's days are determined. We could stop right there and preach just on that. You have a set number of days. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. We have a date, people, all of us. And the fifth thing that we need to be prepared for is eternity. Eternity. I'm a procrastinator. I like to wait to the last minute. I like working under pressure and getting things done. And the funny joke going around these days is, you know, the pictures of the garage door rolled up and it's packed full of stuff. And the dad, the old dad is holding up his arm around his son. One day, son, this will be all yours. You know, We all have our stuff. We all have our things. And do we wait? Do we wait to the last minute? It's just funny. But in preparing for eternity, when we do a Jesus style, he didn't leave anything behind. He didn't leave anything on the table. He put it all in. There wasn't any lingering doubt or anything left over. He put it all in. Sometimes we're kind of hedging our bets. We are waiting. Because I think part of us, there's a part of us, we don't like the idea that we can't add more time to our ledger. And we're hoping and hoping beyond hope that we can get more time or stretch this thing out. We don't know. That's our going in position. We don't know. We have a date set for all of us. And so our preparation ought to be get ready. What does that look like? Some of us need to cut some things loose. Some of us need to get our documentation in order. Some of us just needs to get our stuff in order. Some of us just we need to finally get off the couch because God's still not done with any of us. So there's five areas. Those are in a quick read. If you just Google the word prepare or in some Bible program, this will pop up. Five big areas of our lives. Now, how do we do this? I put the words, there's five P's on your paper. Here's where we're going to start doing this. And the reason I did it backwards. Usually I do the definition and then I have you write the word. This one is a little different. I put the word down. The first thing is pray. We if prayer is not on the top one or two, reorganize it. So pray. And what I think that means best in the world of preparation is we need to seek his direction. His direction. Because I can tell you all day long what my direction is, right, Kenny? You got a few ideas on how things ought to go? Right? Alex, you got a few ideas about how things ought to go? The question is, prayer is really seeking God and waiting for him to respond. So that's the first thing. Seek his direction. Number two. And now we have a direction. We should lay out his direction. What does that mean? Plan. Oh. I already told you I'm a procrastinator. I just condense my planning real fast. I don't know if it's the pressure or what, knowing I got to get it done, that all of a sudden the jets light up and I just get creative real fast. Last week I did something amazing. that's going to sound amazing. To me it does. To you it's probably going pfft. So I'm working on a new master's program, a master's in education. And I finished up one class and that didn't go really well. And I'm going to redo that one later. But they put me back in another class. It's on the legal stuff, you know, that schools have to face. And I was way behind. I was like, the first week was almost over and I had to catch up. And my counselor told the teacher, oh, he's a good student. He's going to get caught up. He's going to work real hard. And yeah, I did. I got everything done by Sunday like I was supposed to. And then I didn't stop there. On Monday, I did the whole week's assignments on Monday. I was the first one done. I was like, so everything gets posted online. There's my name. Three different areas. I responded quickly. I didn't procrastinate. So you know what I did procrastinate on? My sermon. No, I'm like kidding. I had a lot of time on my hand. I was able to get some things done. I had to think outside my box, outside my comfort zone. Procrastination is my comfort zone. I need to get outside my box. I had extra time. We did some things. We went and had fun yesterday. We had a day of rest. It was great. But when we get a direction from God, the first thing we ought to do is sit down and say, what am I going to do with this? And then start planning. Sometimes the best thing we can say is, I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to do. I don't have an idea how to do this. And that's a good place to start, actually, because then we have counsel of many. We can talk to other people who've maybe been there, done that. Hey, I want to start a new job, and this is where I want to go. Does anybody have any experience in this? Anybody got any leads? Hey, I want to start a new ministry. Have you ever tried this before? Just you plan. You start it out. Lay out his direction. Number three, practice. Now, I'm not, we do play practice, we practice at sports, we practice video game, we do all kinds of stuff we practice at. And I don't mean this in a negative way, but sometimes I think people in church are practicing. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just play acting or just doing it for fun and games. What I'm talking about is do it and try it. Put it into practice. Don't wait. Try it. Get ready. Train. When was the last time you had or heard of a study at a Christian church? It's a training class where it's called what it is. Let's go practice. Practice what? Sharing the good news. What else can you practice? Reading the Bible. When we talk about Bible studies, we talk about fellowship opportunities, ladies, you know, ministry stuff, the salads, luncheons. And God forbid I bring this up. Grandparents, what are you doing as grandparents to your littles? You're modeling behavior. You're helping them practice. How many of you like to put the aprons on and make the sugar cookies in the kitchen with the littles? What are you doing? You're practicing. I think last week I shared that there was that girl, Carrie had heard it on Focus on the Family, I believe, who was a little disappointed, upset that when she was going to get married or did get married, she didn't know how to grocery shop. She didn't know how to do meals. She'd been so focused on her athletics, and her parents embraced it and helped her run with it. You have to make choices. And in her situation, she learned a lot about sports and did a lot of things, great things with sports, but she had to sacrifice something else. We need to practice. Why would Christianity be anything different? If you're not doing something that's equivalent to a training regime or a training program, reading your Bible, journaling, coming to Bible studies, coming to fellowship, you're not in training. And I can just tell you this, anybody who's ever been good at a sport, even Tiger Woods, practices. JD, do you still practice things? You're on therapy. Okay. We're never too old for this. Number four, perform. Now, we think of actors and actresses where they're putting on a performance. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not acting here. We need to respond. We need to react. We need to take part in his plan. We need to do it. I've sat in a lot of meetings sometimes. We talk about all these wonderful things about what we want to do or try to accomplish, and then we don't do anything. You get done with the meeting and you go, that one will go in the back burner. We know that. There's either not enough gumption to get up and do it, wasn't enough whatever, or we weren't necessarily allowed to do that. You want to burn out volunteers fast? You get them all excited that they're going to do something, and then you pull all the rug out from under their feet. Sometimes as leaders, we need to let our volunteers go, and whether the weebles wobble and they fall down, you learn. Carrie, can you do everything that you expect your VBS workers to do on your own?
By myself?
By yourself. The one-person show. You need a team. That's what God designed us to be, a team, partnerships. And we need to do this together. And last thing, number five, we need to promote. We need to promote. And sometimes the best way is the least vocal maybe, but the most demonstrative. We demonstrate how big a God we serve by how we live our life. That's promotion. That's promoting, advancing the kingdom. You know, there's days when we all have, it feels a little whiny. I talked about that. I can be a whiner. We're commiserating. We're weeping. We ought to be sad when those days of failure or those obstacles are so big. But I know this. I serve a huge God, a big God. And sometimes he lets us fail on purpose. But that doesn't mean we're not advancing the kingdom. how I recover and how I pick up and how I pick myself up from the perceived failure. Could be somebody else's win. Oh, if he can do it, I can do it. All right, next page. Hudson Taylor had some definite convictions about how God's work should be done. We can make our best plans and try to carry them out in our own strength. That's one way. That's how I typically do it. Or we can make careful plans and ask God to bless them. I kind of grew into that stage for a while. But he has this pretty specific way that I think works best. Yet another way of working is to begin with God, ask him his plans, and to offer ourselves to him to carry out his purposes, not ours. See, when we start with God, we start with his plans and his direction. I don't think we can go wrong with that. I think our flesh and our experience is that we think we're so gifted or we're so knowledgeable or we've got all the answers. And sometimes that humbling of just saying, you know what, God, tell me, what do I got to do? Remember my richism from last week? Don't ask the question if you don't want to hear the answer. God will tell you. He will show you. So here's your challenge. It's the verse just before the one that we opened with. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. You see, in the planning world or the preparation world, it can get a little scary. It can get a little white knuckly out there. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I following his plan? Am I trusting him completely? Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus told everybody. Believe in God and believe in me. And I think that's the heart of preparation right there. Let's pray. Father, we're blessed. We're blessed as a church. We're blessed as a people. We're blessed as a country. We're blessed as a world in so many ways. Father, we have another day in front of us, another opportunity to continue to serve you. Lord, let us look at it as a blessing and not a burden. There are struggles we face in life, the daily struggles, life struggles, relationship struggles, money issues, health issues. But Lord, we serve a huge God, you. And you're with us, and you'll be with us. And you're unfolding your plan in our lives. Father, as we get ready for the Easter season and we grow closer to that day of remembrance, the tradition that we serve or that we celebrate of Easter, let it not be about Easter bunnies and eggs and candy. Of course, those are fun and those are great for the little ones. But Father, let us never lose sight of the fact that you allowed your son to die on the day of preparation and that all of us need to be prepared. Father, as we close today, I pray that anybody struggling with difficulties find answers through you. I pray for those that are dealing with health issues that they find solutions that work for them. But Father, let us start with you and lift our needs up to you, our requests to you, our praises to you. And that's our good and faithful worship to you. Lord, we love you. We say thank you. And all God's people said, amen.